Welcome to the Scotland Grows Show, the podcast partner of Scotland Grows magazine, where we celebrate Scottish gardening. I'm MT O'Donnell, publisher of Scotland Grows magazine, and your host for this adventure. We are delighted that this series of the Scotland Grows Show is sponsored by Roots, a subscription from National Trust for Scotland, which celebrates Scotland's flora in the form of a Roots pack sent to you every 6 weeks, containing Scottish seeds to grow at home for £6 a month. Sign up today at nts.org.uk/roots and use the code GROWS24 to receive an extra packet of seeds in your first delivery. Victoria George is my guest in this episode. Victoria is the Technical Apprenticeship Lead at SRUC, Scotland's rural college, where she has developed the first degree level apprenticeships for the land-based sector in Scotland. She is also the national organiser for the Chartered Institute of Horticulture's Young Horticulturist of the Year competition, a competition open UK and Ireland wide to find the brightest horticultural minds under 30 years old. And in this episode, we'll find out much more about what the competition involves and how you can enter, as well as hear from Victoria about starting her own career in horticulture at age 35, and her advice to you if you're thinking of making a career change to the wonderful world of horticulture. Welcome, Victoria, to the Scotland Grow Show. I am delighted to have you here finally.
Thank you. That was really good to be invited on.
And we've got so much to talk about. But let's start with a wee bit about your career. You did not initially pursue a career in horticulture, but at age 35, you decided to go for that career change. So what made you want to move into horticulture then?
Well, it was one of those unintentional. I'd had some health issues, needed to reduce the stress levels, and I just started faffing about in the garden. And it was, well, I don't really know what I'm doing. Maybe I do a short course. And I applied for a course and I went for the interview and it's like, oh, we've put you on a different course. All right, okay. And I did my national certificate and 6 weeks in, I was like, oh my God, where has this been all my life? It was properly, I absolutely love it. And then I just sort of snowballed from there and I went and did more qualifications, went and did a garden and green space design degree, and then ended up lecturing in horticulture. So it just, within 5 years, I'd gone from not knowing one end of a weed to the other to teaching other people about it.
And it sounds like it was just an instant love affair.
Definitely. It was like, I could not recommend. I get so passionate when I speak to youngsters about getting into this as a career because it wasn't on the cards when I was at school. It wasn't talked about. Nobody, you know, it wasn't mentioned at all. So I get so passionate. And when people, there's certain subjects like bees and ladybirds and things that when people get me going, that's it. They're like, oh, never. Wish it. Don't start on that. So yeah, I get really passionate about it all.
So are those your chosen specialised subjects within horticulture?
I don't have any specific, but I'm just mad for pollinators and I'm mad for flowers and, you know, just having a pretty place where it's full of bees and butterflies and things. So
if you were talking to school leavers today or indeed to people in other industries who wanted to get into horticulture, do you think there are really good opportunities now within the field?
Oh, definitely. I think with horticulture, there's this sort of belief that it's, you're a gardener, you go out, you do things and the scope for horticulture is so wide. You've got everything from, you know, the science side of it, you know, botany, plant DNA, through to botanical art and, you know, photography and things that are careers within themselves. So people sort of maybe think, well, I don't want an outside career. I don't want to be out using my hands. And the scope is so much. And there's so many different qualifications. If you're in school, you can do a National Progression Award. You get work experience, you know, go out there, try different things, go volunteer in a botanical garden or volunteer, you know, if someone like National Trust for Scotland. And horticulture, particularly in Scotland, it's very small across the whole of the UK. I do things across the whole of the UK, but in Scotland, it's even smaller. And there's always opportunities. You'll do something and that'll lead on to someone say, oh, there's a job there. Or, oh, do you know such and such? Oh, I'll introduce you. And for career changers, my sort of my piece of advice that I always give to career changers is don't think, well, I can't go and do that because. Think, what can I do so I can go and do that? Change it up and do it. Look at how you are going to be able to do it. Rather than, oh, well, you know, I can't give up my job. There's lots of different ways to learn now, distance learning. You know, you can take qualifications over different length of time. It's out there. Go for it.
So many people say, oh, I would love to be in horticulture, but it's getting rid of that but, isn't it?
It's like, well, what can you do to make you go, you know, to let you go and do it?
Yeah, and as you say, getting some voluntary experience, doesn't matter what age you are, going to any kind of organisation. Get some voluntary experience behind you, and that lets you know whether it is something that you want to progress. Yeah.
And have a think about, you know, if you've got a career, say you're working in mental health or you're working at care homes, that's where I came from, and I've got qualifications in health and social care. And I like the idea of an interest in horticultural therapy. So is there a way you can combine what you know, the qualifications you have, you that you're interested in, with horticulture? So that, you know, that's there's other avenues. You know, just don't think about, well, I'm going to go and mow lawns and prune hedges. It's so much more than that.
Yeah, and horticultural therapy is a huge growing field, so there are a plethora of opportunities within that, and Trellis is definitely the way to go.
Get
in touch with Trellis if you're considering that. I do field work for Trellis, but it's such a fabulous organisation to just use horticulture to support people's well-being.
Yeah, it's amazing. And Trellis are currently putting together qualifications as well. So there's opportunities in that coming in that as well.
So what then does your day job involve? So you are currently the technical apprentice lead at SRUC, which is Scotland's Rural College. So what does that specifically then involve for you on a day-to-day basis? Or is it a case of no 2 days are ever the same?
Well, no 2 days are ever the same. I have, you know, my job has grown arms and legs since I've started, but the core of my job is developing new higher level technical apprenticeships. So that's comparable to an HND. So that's second year of a degree. And it's about the management, leadership skills,
entrepreneurial skills.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, those that you need to move forward within horticulture that you might want to go into higher level. You know, might want to retail therapy management, you know, retail, etc. So it allows that opportunity to get higher level degree qualifications within the workplace. I'm expanded beyond horticulture. I'm across the whole of the land-based sector. So I've just done agriculture. I'm doing forestry at the moment. And I have plans for horticulture and golf green keeping later in the year. So these qualifications are coming as well. It's a move on from the modern apprenticeship, which is a great qualification within itself. If you can, and you know, that's an opportunity. There's no age limits on apprenticeships. So career changes, that's a really good way in for career changer. As much as young people coming in, they can earn as they learn is the strapline for that. It just allows that next level of learning in the workplace. So it's really exciting.
And SRUC, as you said, don't just support horticulture. It's all land-based industries in Scotland.
It's the land-based industries, so there's the wider opportunities there. They don't exist in Scotland at the moment for this industry, for land-based industry. So it's really exciting to get in to do something that nobody else has done.
Exciting. But you also wear another hat, which is also very, very exciting. And in fact, at this time of year, could be a full-time job, couldn't it? You are the national organiser for the Young Horticulturalist of the Year competition. Now,
yes,
we want to drill down into what that involves. But for any listeners who are not familiar with that, it's a competition which is UK-wide.
Yep, UK and Ireland, the whole of Ireland.
It's a UK and Ireland-wide and is specifically aimed at those under 30. Give us the overview about it and then we'll drill into some of the detail. But I think the attraction in it is that the prize value for the winner is £2,500, isn't it, to go off and travel and do something in the field of horticulture? I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a fantastic prize. It's the Percy Thrower Bursary as a travel bursary, and a lot of the young horticulturists taking part now won't know who Percy Thrower is, but he was the original celebrity gardener, and his legacy was leaving this bursary, which is managed by the Shropshire Horticultural Society, and they do a lot of other sponsorship for it as well. Under 30, on the 31st of July in the year that you take part, it is open to anyone working or studying in horticulture. So it's not just colleges, it's not just apprenticeships or anything like that. It's anyone under 30. And there's lots of different prizes. There's three rounds. You do round one, which is open the whole of February every year. That's online. Links for that can be found on the Institute website or on our social media pages. 40 questions, different types of questions, true, false, matching questions and things. And then you go on to the regionals, which are held in March at prestige locations across the UK. And then the grand finals held in May, which is always an amazing occasion. Last year, we were at Emmanuel College in Cambridge, which absolutely beautiful location. It was a great day. It was so close. It was really exciting. It was so close. 3 points between the Scotland regional winner coming in second to the Southeast winner that took it. So it's so cool. It's so exciting. Networking, it's a great thing for, it's not just a competition. It's about networking. It's about getting out there, getting your name out there. You're plastered all over our social media, so people start seeing. It's great for your CV. And it's a great learning tool. So even if you don't get past round one, it doesn't matter. Every year when I'm looking at the questions, I learn something new every year. So it's a learning tool as much as it is anything else.
So to summarise that then, so if you're a listener and you're not under 30, you could certainly recommend the competition to someone under 30 and encourage them to get involved. They have to be either studying or working in horticulture, and this is a competition across the whole of the UK. So let's just pretend, Victoria, I was under 30, right? Long time ago. So I would go online now in February, and round one would be 40 questions, which I would answer online, and the top scorers in each region would then go forward to the regional finals.
Yeah, so top eight in every region goes through to the regional finals, which there's cash prizes across every of those. Top winners from round one get £25 each. The top three is cash prizes for the top three in the regionals. And then there's cash prizes as well for all the winners, all the regionals contestants that go on to the grand finals. So there's money. No, I was saying there's cash.
Money, yeah. So I would have to be one of the top eight scorers in Scotland to make it in the Scottish regional finals. And then of those top eight, I would have to be the overall winner in order to then go on to the grand final.
Yes. We have winners from all over. We've had from all over Scotland. You get a lot of support if you win the regional. I start supporting to get you down to the grand final. Your accommodation and things when you go to the grand final is all paid for. It's a fantastic opportunity.
The question is, would I be able to answer the questions and get them all right? Luckily, I don't have to find out because I'm not under 30. But it would be interesting to see, you know, generally if people could answer the questions or not.
I'm lucky I get the answers. So I don't have to go, oh yeah, well, I know that. I don't know that. I'm like, oh, that's the answer.
Would you get them all right though if you didn't have the answers?
No. Let's be honest. No. Not everybody, but that's the wonderful thing with horticulture. Not everybody knows everything. And it's something that it took me ages to learn, is that every day is a school day. It doesn't matter how long someone has been in horticulture. They could have been doing it since the day they were born. Nobody knows everything, and there's always something to learn.
And as you mentioned earlier, if you're under 30 and you want to go for it this year and you don't do very well, then you use it as a learning experience to find out where are the gaps in my knowledge that I need to plug if I want to go further in my career.
Yeah, and if you take part and the only person that can ever re-enter the competition is a grand final winner. So you can enter every year as long as you qualify. So a lot of people, I see the same names coming up regularly that they're just keep have a go. And the more you learn as you work, you know, students that maybe take part in their NC and they don't get through, as they work through, they might find that they go on to do HND, third year of a degree. And that's when they get through because they've learned that knowledge. So don't ever, if you don't get through, it's not just about winning the competition.
Yeah, try again the next year. Actually, you could use it as a very good barometer of your learning.
Definitely.
Year on year. So for the Scottish regional final, so the first round is an online round, then subsequent rounds are in person. Where and when does the Scottish regional final take place? And can anyone go along to watch that?
It's by invitation. We only have so many spaces each year to attend. We offer those to supporters for the winners, you know, before we put them out. But if anybody's interested in coming along, they can email the Young Hort of the Year email address, which is yhoy@horticulture.org.uk. This year, the regional final will be on the 9th of March, Saturday. And I have to be honest and say I haven't quite firmed up my location yet. The time has got away from me a bit. But we're aiming for Perthshire this year, somewhere in Perthshire.
You've got the date. I mean, we don't need the location. We've got, and let's face it, if you're through to the final, you're going to go wherever the final's being held. As long as you've got that date, that's all that really matters.
Yeah, and I can give a sneak out to, it's getting launched this week. The location for the grand final is Hestercombe House and Gardens down in Taunton, which is a fantastic location. If you're into garden design, Gertrude Jekyll did all the planting for down there. A fantastic location. So that's something. That's a wee sneak. Scotland's the first people to hear about.
And that will take place in May. So the
that's in May, yeah. That's May the 9th.
So all the regional finalists go towards that. And I imagine, as you said before, it's just a nerve-biting, exciting event.
It's so exciting. I mean, I get excited. I don't envy the contestants that have got to sit there and answer all the rounds and go through all the questions, but I get so excited with it.
Yeah, and even making that final was a bit of a coup for people's career. You know, early on in their year, that's a real coup.
Yeah, it's CV stuff. You can say that you've got through there and you're developing, you've really used it to help develop your knowledge. So it's definitely a plus. Take part. What's the worst you don't get through this year? Have a go.
Exactly.
Have a go.
So the competition is open now in February. How do people get into round one?
Into round one, it's a direct link, which will be available on the Institute website. We'll have a dedicated page on there. And keep an eye on our social media. We're on LinkedIn, we're on Facebook and Twitter, and you can link straight from the posts that we put out directly to registration and taking part.
So that's the Chartered Institute of Horticulture. That's all their social feeds and their website for anyone who's not familiar with how the competition is run.
And if anybody's got any questions, I again email, drop an email to the YHOY email address. I am always happy to talk Young Hort Culture of the Year with anyone if they've got questions. If anybody wants in colleges, we're trying to encourage the colleges to host round one events. So that would be, they allow their students to all get access to a computer room at the same time so they can log on. And there is going to be an exclusive college offer with a major tool retailer, which more details, again, can be got on that by emailing.
Excellent. And I will pop the link to the Young Horticulture of the Year website in the show notes at the end. So after listening, anyone can just click directly through from that to find the details. This is probably your busiest month of the year then, February going forward, for all of that, plus the day job.
Plus the day job, yeah.
So how do you juggle being involved with all of that and time in your own garden?
Badly. Let's just be honest.
Don't we all?
Badly. One of the things that I love about winter is that you get the opportunity just to put everything down and let all the pollinators, like the bees, find somewhere to snuggle up for winter. All your any flowers that have hollow stems, if you have a look, you'll see ladybirds curled up in the bottom of them sleeping. So I use that as a really good opportunity to not do anything for a couple of months while I'm doing the really busiest time of launching and getting the competition going. So that juggles in itself reasonably well. In the summer, it is just a matter of doing what I can when I can, getting out there. And often it's my husband kicking me out the door saying, "This needs done. Will you go and cut that back?" Just you do what you have to do when it needs done.
And luckily, we have a bit more light in summer, so it is easier to get things done in the evening,
Yeah,
isn't it?
it's easier. Just sometimes if I've had a really busy day at work that's maybe been a bit stressful, just come in a couple hours out in the garden and you forget about your day. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you the question that all guests of the podcast get asked, Victoria. If you could only
We have
have,
been thinking about
yes,
this.
if you could only have three plants in your garden. And you're probably thinking, I wish I only had three plants in my garden.
There is an element of that.
If you could only have three plants in your garden, which ones would you choose and why would you choose those three?
Okay, the first one of them would be a Helleborus agutifolius, which is a holly-leaved hellebore. It's evergreen, it's winter flowering, it has a beautiful, massive lime green heads of lots and lots of little flowers. But the biggest thing I like about it is that it's early food for bees. It gets those early on warm days where solitary bees, come out. There's food in my garden there for them. So you see it covered early on in the year. My second one is Hypericum prussicatense. That's St. John's wort. Again, another evergreen, so that's nice. You've got stuff to see in the garden. This I call the buzzing bush. It attracts lots of different species of bees. You're seeing the theme here. Lots of different species of bees, and it's the pollen doesn't automatically come off of it. So the reason I call it the buzzing bush is that bees have to use sonication to get it off. So that's where they use their legs, they grab hold of the anthers, and they flex their flight muscles, so you get the buzz without their wings buzzing, and you get the buzz so they can get the pollen off the anthers. So it's great. It's a lovely. You just go and you can watch them and hear them. My last one are fuchsias, my favorite flower. My grandpa Tom had a garden full of them when I was little. It's fuchsia pink's my favorite color, and it's just always been there for me. They're good for bees as well, so
Definitely a theme there to what you picked.
there's definitely a theme to my garden as much as I can, with the exception, the only thing in my garden which I always feel bad about, but I love them as well, is dahlias, because they're not always accessible for pollinators to get into, but they are so pretty. But everything else in my garden is pretty much aimed at our buzzing friends.
Very nice choices. You'd have a nice evergreen structure then over the winter, and then a blast of colour coming in from the fuchsias. That'd be good. You could live in that. You could live in that garden.
I could so cope with that. Yeah, definitely.
And so, what advice would you generally offer then to people who are new to gardening, or people who haven't started but think this is their New Year's resolution? I'm getting out this year. I'm getting that garden sorted. I want to just do more gardening. What's the best kind of advice that you would give?
Just get out there, start learning the plants is probably the first. There's lots of different books and encyclopedias you can get on plants and how to grow them, what suits, certain areas, shade and all these places. There's a really good book by the RHS. Other brands are available. It's called Right Plant, Right Place, and you can have a look. That's another really good one. You can get a lot of books on eBay. I always say, you can save a bit of money, get books secondhand, and just go out there and start. Plants want to grow. you know, best practice is great, but plants want to grow. That's their ultimate function. They want to grow. And I always think, what's the worst? You kill them. You know, you can always dig it up and plant something else.
Yeah.
And just have a go. Yeah, I'm always a just go, have a go. Think about joining a course, be it doesn't have to be a formal course. It might be that there's a local gardening group that you can join. If you go on to Facebook, you know, and Twitter and things, there's gardening groups on there, and just start talking plants.
Excellent advice. I'm a huge advocate of give it a go as well. Yeah. As you say, what's the worst that can happen? I always think the worst that can happen is that you learn better for the next year. And if that's the worst that can happen, well, then that's amazing.
And it improves year. And find somebody who already does horticulture. You know, find someone like me who, if you start me talking about my garden or something in the garden, that's it. You will learn. I will happily talk for hours about gardens. So, and a lot of horticulturists are like that. So go and talk to people saying, you do this, what can you teach me?
And it's good to have a gardening buddy that you can bore rather than boring your husband, your wife, your family, your grandkids, your work colleagues. It's nice to have someone else who also wants to say, oh.
Yeah, definitely.
You can share seeds, you can share cuttings, you can share produce, you can share advice, all of that good stuff.
I do. I've got a few people I do seed share with, and it's great. And we just go and look at each other's gardens, and you know, and we walk around the same space having lots of different conversations, lots of the same conversation, but we enjoy it every single time.
It's fab, isn't it? It's fabulous. Well, Victoria, thank you so very much for being a guest on the Scotland Grows Show at the beginning of, almost at the beginning of 2024, and for telling us a bit about what you do and your garden, but also about the very exciting Young Hort of the Year competition. And I want to wish you all the very best of luck, and to all of the entrants this year, but to you especially, because you're the woman, you're the power behind the throne in this whole thing, aren't you?
I do my best. The finalists at the grand final do get to see, you know, the combination of months and months and months of stress just coming to the end. So they always are able to have a good laugh at me having a meltdown because the bookings have gone wrong or something. So
But it's such a good opportunity to win £2,500 to go abroad and investigate something in the world of horticulture. It's a kind of no-brainer opportunity to enter.
Definitely. And I'm also going to do a shameless plug for the Chartered Institute of Horticulture, that we do three student membership. So if you're a student, that's when I joined. And 10 years later, I have so many contacts. I'm running the competition. I'm on the committee in Scotland. I've been the Scottish branch chair. I'm the regional organiser in Scotland for the competition as well. I meet so many people, and I have had job offers and all sorts of things out of it. So I recommend any students listening, take an opportunity of that free student membership.
Brilliant. That's fantastic, and more great advice from you. Well, thank you so much. Best of luck, Victoria, with the competition.
Thank you.
And hope to catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Don't forget to follow us on social media by searching for Scotland Grows across Facebook, Instagram or LinkedIn, and sign up for our mailing list at scotlandgrowsmagazine.com so you never miss an episode of the Scotland Grows Show. And if you are not yet subscribed to receive Scotland Grows Magazine 6 times a year, straight to your inbox, literally packed with Scottish gardening goodness, and be sure to do so as soon as possible, and you'll even get access to all the back issues. Details can be found on our website at scotlandgrowsmagazine.com, across our social media feeds, and in the show notes for this episode. The information on the National Trust for Scotland's Roots subscription is also in the show notes, and they would appreciate your support to help National Trust for Scotland's gardens and designed landscapes thrive. I look forward to you joining me on the next episode of the Scotland Grows Show, as we celebrate Scottish gardening.